Find a little lesson over here in Genesis this morning. Fourth chapter of Genesis. I'll start reading here. About the third verse. I'll start at the first verse. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also, he brought also of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel and his brother, and came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out unto thee, to me, crieth out unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. I've read the old familiar story here of Cain and Abel. This has got many, many good lessons in it to us. But the thought that I have this morning is found in the seventh verse. And I want us to look at it this morning, and the Lord bless it to help us along the way. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The text this morning, if we'd have a text, would be that sin lieth at the door. I want us to notice a few thoughts on this morning. You want to read several scriptures? Desire your prayers and attention a little while till the Lord help us to get something from this. Sin lieth at the door. I want us to just get a hold of that. Recognize it. It is there. It was there in Abel's day. It's there this morning. It's at the door this morning of your heart and my heart. Every man's heart that's ever been born on the earth, every human being. Sin lies at the door, and that is the result of all the problems and troubles and murderers and thefts and everything that's bad in the earth is a result of that sin, and that sin is lying at the door of every human being along life's journey. I'm going to read some more scriptures to go with this. And the first scripture I'm going to read is found in Revelation 3, verse 20. If somebody want to help us read, you might get me, I believe about the next scripture I want to read is Proverbs. I want Proverbs 4 and verse 23. If somebody will get that one. And I want Romans 6 and verse 16. If you get those, well, I get right away now so you can read them and help us along. I'm going to read next in Revelation 3 and verse 20. I want you to hold right on to this text now. That's the thought this morning, that sin lies at the door. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, it reads like this. Behold, this is Jesus talking here to John the Revelator. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Now, the next one I'd like to read in this is Romans 6 and verse 16. Who got that one? Romans 6 and verse 16. Now notice here.
Know ye not.
To whom ye yield yourselves,
servants to obey,
his servants ye are, to whom you obey,
whether sin unto
death,
or obedience unto righteousness.
All right? Now I want Proverbs 4 and 23. Now, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All right, this is three or four principal scriptures for the foundation of our thought this morning. I want you to notice now, this is God speaking to Cain. Notice the background of this. Cain and his brother reared up here together in the same family. And Cain brought an offering to the Lord, and Abel brought an offering to the Lord. God accepted Abel's offering and blessed him for it, and he rejected Cain's offering. My thoughts are not concerning so much why this happened. There is a reason why. The main reason was, no doubt, that Cain didn't offer any blood with his offering. Was the real principal reason. I see I'm sure he had knowledge because he was raised in the same family. But I really see a kind of a carelessness here, putting God secondary, maybe. But anyhow, it created a jealousy. And this jealousy began to work in Cain. And God come along and was merciful enough and good enough to warn him. God said to Cain, why art thou countenance falling? Why is your countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He gave him an opportunity, made him to know very clear that he could have had the same blessing that his brother had, didn't he? But if thou doest not well, then sin lies at the door. God was good enough to warn this man that you're heading for trouble. And right at the door of your heart right now, sin is there. And the result of it was that Cain didn't take this warning and went on with this jealousy in his heart and envy to the extent that he opened the door and he allowed that sin to come into his heart. And the result of it was he murdered his own brother. That's the first record of sorrow and trouble and murder we find in the scriptures. Look at the result of this murdering. His own brother's blood was crying out of the ground against him. His father and mother were still living at this time, and he had perhaps other brothers and sisters. Look at the trouble and sorrow this brought in that family. This, as far as we know, is the first death brought on the scene for the human race. And the result of it was a brother slew his own brother. That was a terrible thing, wasn't it? And it was all the result of the fact that he failed to take this warning that sin lies at the door. If thou doest well, you can be accepted. But I'm warning you now, you're bordering on trouble because sin is at the door. Hadn't got in yet, but it was at the door. Now then, I'm going to read in James next. And first chapter, I believe, of James, to get our next thought right here. In James, the first chapter, and let's see what the result of this scripture might bring us. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Notice that now. This wasn't God tempting Abel or Cain. This was sin at the door. And he was under strong temptation. And had he listened to God, he could have prevented this terrible ordeal that eventually caused him to be cut off from God and brought in and ushered in the great sorrow of death and took a man's life and brought the first trouble we find in the earth. Let no man say when he's tempted of God, for God, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Remember that now. When temptation comes your way to do the wrong thing, it's not God involved in it, it's sin lying at the door. Now notice, but every man is tempted, and don't you forget that this sin is lying at every man's door, heart's door. Don't forget that. Every man is tempted. Everybody's tempted. There's nobody exempted from this. You'll never be exempted from it as long as you live in life. You'll never reach a plane or an experience in life taught by no religious, whatever it is, that nothing can bring you any relief, an exemption from this while you live in this life. You cannot never be delivered from temptation. But you can be delivered in temptation. But every man is tempted now, watch this, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, it's not God that tempts man, it's sin lying at the door. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Notice that now. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Now then, let's go back now and look at our three or four texts we've read here. Sin lieth at the door. Now I read you another one over there where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You see, we are not subject to be a prey to that altogether. We got someone else knocking at the door too. Jesus stands at the door. Then we read where he said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Then that puts me and you in a responsible place, see? That gives me the right and free will that I'm the doorkeeper of my own heart and life. Then I've got nobody on earth. I've got not God to blame. I've got nobody else to blame. I haven't even got the devil to blame because he's just at the door. I've got me to blame of all of my troubles and my sorrows and my misgivings and my wrongdoings and everything that happens in my life that's not pleasing to God. I've got no one to blame but me because I am in full charge of my heart's door. That puts me in a pretty responsible place, doesn't it? Keep thy heart with all diligence now, for out of it are the issues of life. Now he said, whomsoever servants ye are, him you obey. Romans tells us that, didn't it? Then I have a choice to make down my journey of life, whether I want to allow sin to come in my heart and open the door to it, or whether I want to allow Jesus that said, I stand at the door and knock. Over in John he said, if any man open, me and my Father will come in and we'll take up our abode there. then I'm the doorkeeper of whether I want to yield myself to sin. And if I do, then I am classed in the earth as a sinner. I am classed before God as a sinner. And the penalty of sin is ultimately death. The death sentence is put upon all sinners. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now then, let's look at this. I'm traveling along the way, and we recognize that when we come to the age of accountability, some people have quite disputes over that. It was counted under the Jewish law that a person was accountable for his own responsibility of the moral law at 12 years old. I believe that's where the Jews said it yet today. But I believe with all my heart, under the circumstances that have developed in our day, the modern education that has come to the earth, I don't believe altogether that it could be classed on a certain age. I believe it would be classed more or less on the environment and the circumstances and what the world calls IQ and the environment that the children was developed and raised under. I believe there are some children at 8 years old who have plenty of knowledge to do right and to deny wrong. But we'll leave that. That's not an argument. But at any rate, we reach a point in life when we begin to grow up that we have to make a choice whether I'm going to yield myself to be a servant of sin or whether I'm going to yield myself to be a servant of righteousness. I'm going to have to make a choice whether, as sin lies at the door, I'm going to open the door to sin. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Then I'm going to have to make the choice, and I am fully responsible and have the full right and privilege to make the choice. God gave me that, and He'll never take it away. He made man a free moral agent and gave him a free choice to serve whom he will. We can serve sin, or we can serve the Lord. And we're the one to make the choice. And God give us that choice and that freedom that He'll never take from us. So that makes us more responsible, doesn't it? Sin lies at the door. Jesus stands at the door. And He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, if everyone will just be real honest with herself, even a child when he does come to the knowledge and been taught wrong, I believe there's almost grown people that don't know any better than to do a lot of wrong things and just do it without any really remorse of conscience, because the environment of the nation has been so such and their family background and all. But somewhere along the way, I believe a conscience, we call it, will come into the heart of people that when they do wrongs, especially sinful wrongs, their own conscience starts a warfare in their lives. I believe that. The human race was given what we call a conscience that no other creation has. I don't know, perhaps some people says all the animal kingdom does wrong and don't feel bad about it, but I've had a little more understanding of that. I believe that some animals can do wrong and feel bad about it, because I've seen it in dogs especially. A dog can be taught to the extent that when he does something that his master has taught him not to do, he'll tuck his tail and run to hide somewhere. I don't know of any other animal to do that. The lion in the forest was created to kill for his livelihood. The little deer can be out there playing and having a good time, and the lion can slay the deer and go back a-boasting about it, strut himself over it. The fowls can get into a fight, and they do often, the males especially, and even the females sometimes, the hens will fight. The winner will strut over it if he even kills his opponent. But wherever a human does a real bad wrong, you're going to find a conscience of condemnation come upon him. Now, it'll cause him to recognize it and to hide. Sin came in on this man's life, and Cain rose up, and God was good enough to begin to warn him. Now, looky here. You're getting an attitude and a feeling here that's wrong, and sin's right at the door, and if thou doest well, why, you can be accepted here. But if you don't, this is going to get dominion over you. That's what it said. It'll rule over you. And Adam didn't, or Cain didn't listen to God, did he? He didn't obey. And he opened the door of his heart, and he let that envy and that jealousy come in, and he decided, well, this thing, he's no better than I am, and I know what I'll do. I'll just get rid of him. And he rose up and slew his brother. Buried him in the ground. Thought it was all over. Working out there in the field one day, and God come along and said, "Where's Abel, your brother?" "Oh, I don't know. I'm not my brother's keeper." He lied now, didn't he? You see what sin does? When sin gets in there, he don't stop at one wrong do it. He begins to multiply wrongdoings. And he lied to God. Worse than ever to lie to God, wasn't it? "I don't know. I'm not my brother's keeper." God said his blood's crying out of the ground against you. You know, God's looking on and knows all the wrongs. The scripture says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. The heart of man is naked and open. All things are naked and open in the eyes of the Lord with whom we have to do. The darkness of the night don't cover wrongdoings in God's sight. Secret slipping off from the wife or the husband or the parents or the law doesn't cover it up in God's sight. God, the writer said the darkness, David said that I believe in the 139th Psalm, that the darkness and the night are alike in thy sight. God sees every wrongdoing and all the blood that has been shed from the blood of Abel down through the ages is still crying out for vengeance, and someday in the great judgment day, that vengeance is going to be paid by God. God is going to get vengeance. All the evil and the sin and the ungodliness that was committed last night, I say that because folks used to say that Saturday night was the devil's night, and I suppose maybe there may be more wickedness carried on Saturday night than any other night, but it's got to where anymore there's plenty of it all the time. But God saw every bit of it last night. Got a record of it, and there's a book being made of the record of every life that's in the world, every human being. God is keeping the record. David said, "Are they not all in thy book?" At the great judgment scene over there in Revelation, we saw where the books were opened, and another book was opened, and the dead were judged out of those things that are written in the books. The books of our lives will be opened before us someday, and we'll be like Cain here. We'll maybe make excuse, and we'll lay our problems on to somebody else now, and we may hide them and may go on and die, and nobody will ever know. But when God opens that book, it's recorded there. And we won't be able to argue with God because he's got it there. We ought to consider that serious, hadn't we? He's even got a record of our thoughts. He said a book of remembrance was written to them that thought upon his name. Our thoughts, our purposes in life. There are many people who will be convicted for sin and wrong of doings that never did commit the act. But they would have if they could have. They just didn't get a chance to. It's just as wrong in that thought and purpose of it as it is to do it. The only difference, it might not harm somebody else, but it'll harm you. If I had in my heart and purpose that I'd like to kill somebody, and I never got the job done, it would be a blessing to them and their family. It'd be less sorrow over it, but I'd be just as condemned in God's sight as if I'd have went and committed the act. Now that's right. The scriptures will back that up throughout the scriptures. Sin. We're talking right now about sin. All right, he said, sin lies at the door. And the scripture said to us, Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock." Then we read, "Where whomsoever servant ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are." Then it's up to me. to yield either to open the door to Jesus and the spirit of conviction of God upon my heart and allow God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to come into my life and then become a servant to the Lord God of righteousness, or to open that door and allow sin to come in there, then I become a servant to sin, whichever one I let in. Somebody says, I'm not going to let them either one in. No, there's no neutral ground here. You're either one or the other. When you reach a place to the age of accountability and the conviction of right and wrong comes to your heart, one or the other you yield to. And everybody that yields to sin don't go out right away and kill somebody. Everybody that yields to sin and is the servant of it don't go turn out to be a drunkard or a dope addict or some terrible character like that. But nevertheless, sin, when it comes in our hearts and lives, is reigning over us and has the rule. And if it so desires, then we're going to do whatever it compels us to do. That's the danger of it, see. But when we yield to God, then we become a servant of righteousness. The prophet of old said, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will put my spirit in them, and I will cause them to keep my judgments or my laws. You see, God will cause us to do that that is upright before Him if we allow Him in there. Just in as much as if we allow sin in there, it'll cause us to do wrong. There's a cause behind this thing. We lay it on to one thing and another, but it's just two purposes in life that causes people to do what they do. One of them is sin that causes them to do wrong. It's the seed of all wrongdoings. The other one is righteousness, or God. And He is the cause of righteousness. Every good thing that's done, God backs it up. It's because God. Because God is only good, and the devil is only bad. The devil is the author of sin, and God is the author of righteousness. All right, I want to read some more scriptures now. I believe the next I want to read a little bit about, I want James 1 and 15, I believe. When sin is finished, I'll read it right here. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Now when I open the door to sin, I let sin in my heart. Listen to what it said. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now the word death is a word that we as a human race, it affects our whole life when we, to the great extent, it just comes in being taken or terminated out of the earth. That's not altogether in the Bible. Death don't just mean that altogether. The Lord said about Adam and Eve, the day you eat of that fruit, you'll die. Well, they didn't die a literal death that day. They didn't terminate here on earth. But they also died, they did die a spiritual death. The word death defined means separated. Separated from God. Now I want to get Romans. If somebody will get a scripture in Romans 5 and 12. Did we get that one? Romans 5 and verse 12. Let's see what Romans. Now, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. That's enough. Death by sin. It set a mark upon him. It went on to tell us there in that chapter. You can read it. It said, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain gave himself over so fully to sin, and it took up its abode in his heart and life until he went out. God disconnected from him. No more did God have any part in his life. No more do you read where God ever made him a visit to reprove him anymore. He just gave himself over till he went out from the presence of the Lord. He was cut off from God, in other words. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. When we in our stubbornness decide that we don't want any part with God, and we turn down the wooing spirit and the convicting spirit of God, and we just get a little harder and a little harder, after a while, many times there comes a time when God just disconnect completely from us, and we just go out from the presence of the Lord, and we're left in a miserable state of life. Dangerous, isn't it? To fool around with sin. That's what happened to this man. I believe the world is filled with people that have that very experience today, that God has disconnected with them. Now, as long as God will come along and reprove, and they feel a remorse of conscience, that's a pretty good sign God's still reproving. But when people can just go on like many are doing today and have no restraints, everything goes, and just defying God and going right on, it's a pretty good sign God's having no part with them. They've given themselves completely over to sin and opened their heart's door to sin to the extent that they're fully under its servitude, and they're going right on doing whatever it requires them to do. And also true when a person opens the door in their heart to the Lord and gives themselves fully over to God, then they can go on through life doing righteous things, and it'll become a part of them to do the right thing. And they won't have to struggle and fight so hard along the way to do that is right. God said, I'll cause them to do that is right. It's just natural for a righteous person that's serving the Lord to do the right thing when the time comes along. All right? Romans 5 and 12 said, death, sin brought death. So we know where death started. Then it also brought this literal death that we have to stand with the tears running down and our heart broken and see our loved ones lowered in the ground. To never again in this life see them again, or that form in that body. That's about the heart-rending thing that can come to the human race, isn't it? Sin brought that also. Had man never sinned, he'd have never had to do that, because God made him to live forever. Where he could eat of the tree of life and live forever, to be an immortal man. But sin brought that step too. And everything that hurts us in life, that disappoints us, that crosses the grain of the flesh, causes suffering, causes tears of remorse and heartache, suffering of every form, all diseases, all cripples, everything contrary to complete sound and happiness of every kind is a result of sin. Remember that now. Now that don't mean everybody that's sick and everybody that has crippled up is going to be lost in hell over it, but sin is a result of that. They can be saved and go on in the next life if they'll yield to God and still not have to suffer like that. We believe that. But sin caused that. Sin caused all the war that's ever been in life, all the murders, everything that's not good for humans. Sin is a result of it somewhere along the way. Then why hadn't we rather open our heart to the Lord and allow Him to be our master and serve righteousness and come back to my old familiar text I often use in Timothy, said, godliness is profitable, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Nothing better than to live in this life with a good conscience when you lay down at night. And to realize I'm at peace with my fellow man to the best of my understanding and ability. And that if something would happen before tomorrow, I would be taken out of this life, I'd go to a better life, an eternal life with the Lord forever, than to go on and fight sin and let sin have dominion and serve sin, we'll put it that way. Like the world's doing today. Never been a more troublesome time than we got on hands in our world today. And yet here stands the Lord, said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It just seemed like when you face it up to that, it just seems like you just don't have an answer why people will go on and live in sin and be a servant of sin when the Lord's standing there to knock and want to move in and clean out sin out of our lives. That's what it's for. And then he said, me and my father will come in. And it goes on in Romans there and said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin can be destroyed out of our lives yet today. Jesus came into the world to save people from their sins. That was what the angel told Mary, wasn't it? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. That's what it said. Then I don't understand why people will go on out, give themselves over to be a prey to sin. The way of a transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. And that's what I say. And that's what you'll have to say if you're transgressing today. It's a hard way for you. Now, that's all there is to it. And everybody else will have to come to that conclusion, and they will sooner or later. The way of the transgressor is hard, but the path of the just is as a shining light, and shines more and more unto the perfect day. Which one of these masters this morning had you rather choose and serve? They're both at your heart's door continually along the way. Even the sinner man, until the time comes, perhaps, as I said, I believe there's some that he's turned away from. But generally speaking, he's still knocking. He comes along once in a while to knock at our heart's door, even after people have went on and turned him down. But sin is right there at the heart's door. Temptation to do wrong. Even after you get saved, sin's still out there hanging around. And he still comes up to the heart and knocks once in a while. You can go along and get living for God and enjoying life, and somebody come along and do you wrong, and temptation will rise up there, and the devil knock on the door and say, now look, he's done you wrong. You ought to get even with him and get vengeance there. You ought to tell him off, or you ought to do this, or you ought to do that, or one thing and another. You could just cut the corner here and be a little dishonest. One thing and another, sin's always around there knocking. But Jesus is living in there, and I don't know any better way to describe it as the little simple story about the little girl. Someone asked her about what she was going to do now, and the devil come to the door, and she said, I'm going to send Jesus to the door. He'll be there to go to the door. Yes, he will. He said, I'll come in and live with you. And if he's living in there, then we can be delivered from the temptation, can't we? Didn't he teach us in the prayer, when Jesus taught the people to pray, they said, teach us how to pray. And one of the words in that prayer said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we're going to have temptation along the way, but we're going to have the Lord to help us out along the way too. I've got another scripture. I could quote that, and maybe I will, in 1 John 3 and 8. And it makes it real clear. Well, maybe we better read that. And it seemed like that I could quote that one maybe, but it's a little deeper impression than that. And I just want to read it and see what we might get there. John 3, 1 John 3, 15 is an old familiar scripture. Yes, I'll read a little bit of that. And we know, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. That's Jesus he's talking about. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Some complicated scriptures there. We want to make just a little comment on. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That's plain, isn't it? He that is born of God doth not commit sin. He cannot commit sin because his seed remained in him. In other words, I cannot keep the Lord in there and obey the Lord and sin at the same time. See, that don't mean I can't go out and let sin in the door again. You can open the door. You're a keeper of your heart all your life. You can live for God today, and in the morning, if you rise up and so decide, you can allow sin to come in, and God and sin won't dwell in the same heart. God will move out and let sin have it. Yes, he will. You see what a close place and responsible place that puts you and I in? One writer over there said, "So shall thy judgment be, thyself has decided it." You and I are deciding our destiny today. You have within your control all the blame you can place on somebody else or on the devil or anything won't stand up because you have full authority and right to control your own heart and your own life. You can choose to serve God or you can choose to serve the devil, and you'll have to make the choice. As you travel the journey, that choice is yours. In John 8:21, I believe we quoted that one. Romans 6:22-23, we're going to conclude with this verse. Over there in John, wasn't it? 8:21. No, get John 8:21. Let's see what that had. That might be a good verse we missed here. John 8:21. Let's see what that had. St. John. Romans 6:22 will be the last one.
Then said Jesus again unto
him. Yes, I wanted to get that thought. Then said Jesus,
"I
go my way,
and ye seek me,
and ye seek me,
and shall die in your sins.
Ye shall die in your sins.
Whither I go, ye cannot.
You cannot come. If you die in sin, you can't go where the Lord is." Sin will lead you to a devil's hell. There's a hell, a lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you serve sin, you're going to end up in that lake of fire through eternity. Reaching a point here to where we have no language to express it, it takes God to convict people and put in their hearts the reality of what eternal hell is. But it's real.
Let me read this 24th
too. All right.
I said therefore unto you
that
ye shall die in your sins.
Ye shall die in your sins.
Or if ye believe not
if
that
you,
I am he.
If you believe not that I am he.
Ye shall die in your sins.
Ye shall die in your sins. Now I'm going to read the last verse here in this lesson this morning, and it's real serious. I'll read 22nd and 23rd verses. But now being made free from sin and become the servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That's precious, isn't it? Notice the next verse. For the wages of sin is death. Now we could go a whole hour on that one thought right there. Just winding up here, but the wages of sin is death. You're going to get wages out of your life. Every man shall be rewarded according to whatever his work shall be. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the wages of sin lying at the door. If you let him in, you're going to get wages from him. You're going to serve him. Whosoever servants you are, him you obey. You'll be paid for it. But the ultimate wages will be death. This is talking about not just this literal death. This is talking about eternal death. Forever separated from everything that God has ever had a part in. All the beautiful sunshine, the good rain, the beautiful nature of earth, everything that's good. You remember that rich man in hell was crying for one drop of water to cool my tongue. The wages of sin is death. To be cut off forever from all that you ever had any pleasure in, knew anything about pleasure, into eternal darkness, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, where the flames of that lake of fire goes up forever and ever and ever. Language ceases here, doesn't it? But the gift of God is eternal life, eternal bliss with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, which one of these had you rather admit into your heart today? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Sin lies at the door. You're acquainted with that if you're a grown and mature young man or older man or middle-aged. You know what it means to be tempted. Old temper rise up and it's caused a many a man to be shot and killed, knifed. That's old sin does that, see? Sin lies at the door. But the scripture also says, behold, I, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. God was good enough to Cain that I read you about to warn him and say, now looky here, sin lies at the door. If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. But if not, you're going to give over to sin and to it shall be your desire, his desire. He'll just take over. Cain done just like most people do today, a lot of people. Just go right on and not listen to God. And the result of it was he found himself where he murdered his own brother and was cut off from the presence of the Lord, and a sad end with it. May the Lord help us. Whomsoever servants ye are, him you obey. Now you remember that. If you've allowed sin to come in your heart and you're servant of sin today, you may never have any thought. I would say 95% or maybe 99% of those people down in the jails, McAllister and all the penitentiaries, they can't build them fast enough, would have never thought this would be me locked up down here. No, there was one time innocent young lad or young lady. But they let sin in and they become a servant of it. And now where are they at? If you allow sin to rule in your life, you don't know where you'll wind up. In this life I'm talking about, and what you'll get into. But if you allow it in there till you wait too long, it said the wages of sin is death, eternal death, in a devil's hell. But if you allow Jesus to come in, you can have eternal life with him in heaven. This is not just some kind of superstition. This is real. This is the Bible teaches this. This is God's word. God's the author of the Bible. I know we're living in an atheist land where a lot of people that have you think this and that, but we're still, God is still at the controls of all this. And I, for one, I'm going to take God's word and believe it and all else to be a liar. I believe there's a heaven and a hell. And God give me the choice to choose which one I want to go to be with him in eternity. So this life is just a dressing place for one or the other. And you are preparing yourself for one or the other. And if you are a servant to sin and would go out and die before next Sunday, you will be lost in the devil's hell. If you're a servant of God and has allowed the Lord to come into your heart and you will die, you can go to be with Jesus forever and have eternal life. Surely it looks like we ought to choose to let the Lord in our heart and life. May the Lord help us this morning.